Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast of Real Recovery. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you. Welcome to Real Recovery. We're awfully glad you're with us tonight or today, earlier this morning. George, we've got a great show. Bill Arnold on this side of the studio, and just across the way, my co-host, or I'm your co-host, whatever, however you like to put it. I'm good
either
way.
We're a team, Bill.
We're a team. What have we accomplished as a team?
Nothing. But, you know, we've got potential. We show up.
We have potential.
We try.
That's what I love about Real Recovery, George, is we have potential.
Right.
Yes. Did you ever get that on your report card when you were a kid?
Shows
improvement, but could do better.
My dad explained that to me. That means you have some talent, but there's nothing to measure that by. You've never done anything. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, that felt good, didn't it?
Well, as you know, it was always encouraging to have him around the house.
Yeah. So how are you doing?
You don't care.
I do care.
How am I really? I'm doing well.
Yeah.
Had a little health scare this week and turned out to be just a normal thing. And you know, we're praying hard for me. I appreciate that. And some of my friends, I think as we go along, Bill, I'm more and more and more aware of step one, where we admit we're powerless over drugs, alcohol, and that our lives are unmanageable. And really, what do we have control over? Our next breath comes at the mercy of an all sovereign God. And I remember when I used to hide from God a lot.
How'd that work? I can't picture that working.
No. No, it did. Well, it, I,
no,
it was
no,
fun,
it didn't work.
But you don't have any peace of mind.
Okay.
And it's a lot of effort. And then you come to the realization, because God allows you to do it, and you come back and you're glad there is a God who does have standards and that what he says is true, and you go running to him, and he meets you. And you go, wow, was I wrong? I was wrong about everything. And if you're listening tonight, you're struggling with something, addiction, maybe a sex addiction, problems gambling, God knows about it. You don't keep anything from him. And it's like, you know, in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, Bill, at the fall, they thought they could hide from God.
Mm-hmm.
But we all do that. When I try to hide from God is when I should be the most running to him. I always want to go back to the scripture, Romans 5:8. God shows his great love for us, that while we were still sinners, he sent his only son to die for us. And if you're struggling with guilt and shame, the guilt thing, take a look at what you're doing, and that's good. It makes you feel guilty. Don't do it anymore. But the shame's got to go. You're a child of the King. Mm-hmm. And you get on your knees. You pray to him. Ask him for forgiveness and to come into your life. Your problems won't immediately go away. But you're going to know you're not alone. And the strange thing is, you're going to have one day where you go, I know it's true because I have a peace about me.
Mm-hmm.
Even when everything around me is crashing, I have God's peace. And I don't want you to miss that, right, Bill? And so every week we get to hear stories of people that went their own way, totally wrecked their life. God showed up. You got to do the work. You got to pick up your cross and deny yourself daily. And what that means to me, Bill, is laying my cocaine use, my alcohol use, my sexual behavior at the foot of the cross. Jesus, take this from me. Because I still want to do it sometimes, and give me the power, the strength, and the desire to do your will.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you know what God's will is? You got to open the Bible and read it. I'd start with the book of John if you're new. That book blew me away. It still does. In the beginning was God, and God was with the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You got to be kidding. I had to reread that. And it seems too good to be true, and that's why we call it a miracle, Bill. And anytime anybody gets sober, anytime anybody gets saved, I hope you do both, it's a miracle. You didn't do it on your own. And if you're thinking about quitting using and you've been doing that for a while, I know it took me 7 years to get a one-year medallion.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I wanted to do it is the Holy Spirit had sparked my heart that it convicted me, but it also offered me hope. And it happened. I know I'm saved, but the second greatest miracle in my life is that I haven't used a mood-altering drug, cocaine, or alcohol in over 38 years, and I'm happy. Mm-hmm. I thought I had to do it. Okay, I'll become a monk and go into seclusion, and I'll never have any fun or anything. And I was wrong.
Yeah.
Be open to the fact you're wrong, right?
Yeah. And this is the guy who drinks strong coffee in the morning.
You or me?
Well, both.
We should snort it right out of the bag, saving some time. Yeah.
But I will give you a little heads up. Tonight's story is going to involve some sexual choices, and our guest is going to talk all about that. But as George, I have 1 Corinthians 6 open tonight, and there's a passage right towards the end that says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies.
Wow.
Yeah, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20.
You know, it's interesting to me when I read the book of Genesis about Joseph and Potiphar's wife. So Joseph had to be a pretty good-looking guy. It says that in the Bible. And so did Potiphar's wife. And she wants to have a relation with him. And he says, how could I sin against my God?
Right.
Well, that's like number 20 on my list. My first one is I'll get in trouble, I'll do that, all that. Here's a man of God's own heart, like David was. What does Joseph do? He runs out of there. She's holding on to his coat. You can feel it coming when you're going to sin. Maybe you get a little too excited. Maybe there's somebody in your life that when you see him, you get a little too happy. It's easier to take this from George. It's real easy to recognize your sin right away. Mm-hmm. The longer you fantasize about it, the greater the chance it becomes reality.
Good point. And any temptation is hard. And I remember hearing this phrase, better it be hard and right than hard and wrong. Because you're going to make a choice. And you can make a choice that's wrong, or you can make a choice that's right. Either way, it's going to be hard. Any thoughts to that, George?
You know, that's... recovery for me has been very hard.
Yeah.
But so was you.
But you've made right choices for 38 years.
I think God has. I don't put a lot of faith in the George.
All right.
You know what? I've got this, God. Thanks for taking me this far. I'll take it from here. And we all have a tendency to do that. And God allowed us to go our own way to bring us back in. We have a great God who is also good, loving, kind, and forgiving.
Yeah. And don't we love him and worship him and adore him and thank him every day?
We should.
Yeah.
And we do.
Good. I believe we do. Yeah.
Am I in trouble?
No, you're not in trouble.
Okay. I'm going to get sent to my room for the rest of the show. Hey, I'm really looking forward to tonight.
Yeah, I am too. And George, say hi to our new Faith Radio family members in Missouri. Or is it Missouri? I never know which one.
You know, my dad was from St. Joe, Missouri.
Was he really?
Yeah.
So is it Missouri or Missouri?
Well, he changed. It used to be it's Missouri, and then it was Missouri.
Okay. Well, the good news is that we are on the air.
Where's the station there?
Well, it's all over the state.
Yeah, but where is it located?
Well, I think we've got upwards of about 3 stations that covers most of the state, with the exception of St. Louis. I think that's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. But if you are brand new to the show, which I'm imagining you are probably are, you can learn more about us at myfaithradio.com. You can go to the Real Recovery show page. Don't look at that picture of George and I too carefully. It's extremely old.
So are we. That's why we haven't done a new one.
We're not going to update it.
Yeah.
Because we want to live with the illusion that we look the way we look in that picture.
We still think we're cool.
We do.
It's called a delusion.
And as we get things started tonight, George, I love this passage that comes out of 2 Timothy 2:15 about studying to show thyself approved unto God. And I think it's critical that when we're handling Scripture that we do our best to not only study God's Word, but to present yourself to God as one approved and to work hard, which is what I hope we do on Real Recovery, is that we really spend time studying and digging into God's Word and then taking what we learn and applying it to not only the stories that we hear, but also how we walk out our life. So that is one of the great challenges that we have in life, is taking God's word and applying it and walking it out. And that's what I love about Real Recovery, is we get these stories that are so inspirational, because God takes us in the depth of our past and places us and takes us to the height of our after. So that is the plan for tonight, to hear Casey's story. And if you are, again, just joining Real Recovery for the first time and you're getting to know us, one thing I would suggest you do, if you want to dig deeper into God's word, is to practice spending time in his presence with the Faith Radio Verse of the Day email. And you can find that by signing up at myfaithradio.com. It features a beautiful scripture graphic, which will be sent right to your inbox. It's something I do highly recommend. All right, that's the last thing I'm going to say, and then we're going to jump into tonight's story with Casey and find out exactly where God has taken him in his story. You're listening to Real Recovery with Bill and George. We'll be right back. Recovery. So glad you're joining us this day, this happy day. Bill Arnold on this side of the studio, and just across the way, George P. Fraser. Hello, George.
Well, hi, Bill. I thought it was, you know, we did the first set and you're acting like I just saw you, but it's good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to...
You ignore me totally all the time.
I try to. We're going to really look... I'm really looking forward to our story tonight. Our guest, Casey, is going to be joining us in just a second. But he's got an amazing story, and I love what God does in the lives of people that seek him.
I never get tired of hearing God's story in people, ever. And that's what our show's about.
Exactly. Seek him, and you will find him. Casey, welcome.
Hi. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. So we're always interested in finding out a little bit about young Casey, where you grew up, what life was like, what school was like. Did you go to church? Did you have friends? Did your family get along? What was that like?
Yeah, I grew up in a small town in northern Minnesota. It's called Cook, Minnesota. It has 600 people in it. I have two sisters and one brother. I grew up in a good family. My parents have always been married, my siblings are half siblings, and we grew up. They taught us about Jesus, and so we were Christians growing up.
Nice.
And I grew up on a farm. I was always playing in like the swamps with frogs and tadpoles.
Love it. And so you also know what it's like to work hard, don't you?
Kind of. I was kind of a lazy farmer, but I do a little bit.
All right. I didn't know there was such a thing as a lazy farmer.
I work when I want. I work smarter, not harder.
Oh, I like it. All right.
I was kind of a little bit different. I got picked on a lot. And we went to church off and on. And then when I was in middle school area, my friends invited me to go to youth group and at a Baptist church in Cook. And I started going with them. And it was the summer after my seventh grade in school that I went to a Bible camp. And that's when I gave my life to the Lord.
That's fantastic.
And yeah, I remember it because I had, you know, tears streaming down my face and that snot all over. And I continued to go to youth group and church and didn't really spend that much time with God on my own. And so I was kind of just going for a social thing, and I wasn't really going for a relationship with God, but I was still going to church. And I got good grades, when I was in school, like B's and stuff. I was an okay student. I liked math. I played basketball also when I was in high school, from 10th grade to 12th grade. I was kind of a late bloomer, but I was still glad I did it.
So it sounds overall like you had pretty normal upbringing.
Yeah,
I'm not
sure.
Hearing anything out of the ordinary quite yet, but I know there's plenty more of your story.
Yeah, my family, they got along.
So did you use it all in high school? Any pot?
No,
no drinking?
Nothing. I was good all the way up until my 18th birthday, and that was after I graduated high school. And that's when I started IU drank for the first time.
So was it legal for you to drink then?
No.
But that didn't stop you. Good for you. So what was the occasion? Did you go with some buddies?
No, it was just like some people were gathered together at my friend's house for my birthday party, and then nobody else was drinking because I wasn't drinking at that point yet. But then I found out that my friend had some booze, and then so I asked him if I could have some.
And the question George usually asks, and I'll ask it on his behalf right now, did you like it?
Yeah, I had fun.
Okay. And did it change your personality right away?
I felt a little goofy.
Okay.
Yeah. Little.
So you got the feeling?
Yeah.
Did you get that warm feeling and think, hey, I'm going to be doing this again?
It kind of. I was like, yeah, it's not that bad. Then I went to college, and I still went to some like Christian things on campus, and kept drinking. And then the summer after my freshman year in college, I started using marijuana and smoking cigarettes.
Why did you do
In the,
that?
I really don't know. I just slowly started to, I just wanted to maybe fit in or something
Sure.
'cause I had trouble fitting in when I was in high school.
Okay, so you're getting into a little bit more of the party lifestyle, and then what happens next?
So then I meet a girl named Jen, and then we were together for 3 years, and then we ended up having my son Benjamin, and that was when I was 22, 2012. And then a month after he was born, I just had this my guilty conscience was just eating at me. I'd been keeping a secret for several years, and then I finally told, a month after my son was born, I told Jen that I was gay.
How did she respond to that?
Oh, she was pretty devastated. Yeah, it really hurt her.
How was that for you?
It was kind of a relief in a way, but it also felt really, really bad for kind of like, destroying her life in a way.
So you had a double life going since you were young, huh?
Yeah, I admitted that I had been cheating on her with men, and yeah, I've been keeping that a secret, ever since it was started to bother me. And that was the first time I told anyone.
When this news came out and you made this public, what was your response from your family? Because you've got parents that love you, and now they've got a grandchild, and you're not going to necessarily be living with Jen, are you?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you about that. So after I told her, I started to tell my friends and my family, and she came with me to tell my parents. And my parents were, they're as Christians, they were pretty devastated. My dad cried, and my mom kind of talked about like how she's worried about my salvation. And I later on, I found out that they were, after I led left or whatever, they went out and prayed for me. And then Jen and I, we continued to live together for the next several months, like 9 months. She didn't want me to leave, and so I just felt like the least I could do was stay and live with her and just be her roommate. But it ended up being kind of toxic because we were already having trouble getting along before this all happened, and then so this just amplified things.
So when you say your parents, after you left, prayed for you, that sounds pretty normal. If I'm a Christian parent, first thing I'm going to do for my child who is telling me difficult news is to pray for him.
For sure.
Okay. So you didn't find that unusual, but you're back now. You're
Well, I
back.
guess I didn't know that they prayed for me at the
Okay.
time.
Okay. But now you're back trying to navigate life with Jen, who is the mother of your son, and you're trying to now live an more open lifestyle that you're not keeping a secret anymore.
And and I knew God, what God said, that it was wrong, and I just chose to go with the world instead of God. I just reasoned that somebody must have added things about homosexuality in the Bible, and I figured, why would God make somebody, he knew, if he knew me before I was born, why would he make somebody like this and then damn them to hell for living that way. So I just reasoned that God probably doesn't really damn people for hell, or that homosexuality wasn't wrong, and so I just lived that way. And so when I was when I told Jen that I was gay, I had been talking to a man for a little while, and we weren't together or anything, but he encouraged me to come out. And then when I did, we couldn't really spend a lot of time together, because when I would spend time with him and I was living with Jen, it would end up hurting her feelings. And so finally, when I did move out, I moved in with a friend, and then I thought, okay, well then maybe we'd be able to start a relationship with this man. And then he ended up stop he stopped talking to me, and so that kind of devastated me.
And what is your using like at this time? Is it increased, stayed the same, or decreased?
It's probably like slowly increased, because I would start drinking maybe like some I would drink hard liquor and smoke weed, and it probably it increased. And I definitely it was just because I was at the time I just thought I was having fun, but really I'm separated from my creator, and now I'm coping with a lifestyle that I shouldn't be living. And so I'm trying to, like, I look at it back on it now, and I see myself kind of like drowning that pain with any substance.
You had to feel all alone, didn't you?
Yeah, looking back on it now, it was really a lonely life, even though I had like people around me, not like it is now.
Casey, what were you doing in terms of family and friends prior to this announcement? Did you have community around you, or did the friends and family move aside or move away a little bit? Or were you still involved with all of your regular friends and people in your circle of influence?
Yeah, I was still involved with
Okay.
everyone. That was one that really, my family handled me really well, handled the situation well. Like, they kept loving me. They stayed in contact with me. So nothing really changed. Maybe I might have started coming around more in a sense, because when I was with Jen, I kind of isolated from my family. But I'd go in phases of isolating from them off and on throughout my life.
And were you spending more time or less time with your son?
More time. Well, half, kind of like ha around half time, because when I moved out, and then she would ha have him half the time, then I would have him half the time.
Okay.
And then it was like that for the next several years, where until like a year and a half later, she moved to 3 hours away, and then we would meet halfway and exchange them every couple weeks
All right.
until he started going to school. And then she had him in the school year, and then I had him in the summer.
Okay. Well, Casey, we're going to take a little break. We're going to find out
Sure.
what is next. George, interesting show as we get started with Casey's story. You're listening to Real Recovery with Bill and George, and we're going to be right back. Welcome back to the show. So glad you joined us tonight. Casey's our guest. He's on the phone all the way up in northern Minnesota where he lives. And Casey, really, to this point, your story is taking some real twists and turns. Some of the things you've shared, we didn't see coming, but God did. And he has kept you in the palm of his hand, it sounds, even though you tried to jump out a number of times.
Yeah.
Let's go back to where you are now living. Yeah, with a roommate? Are you in a relationship? What kind of choices are you making? And tell me how your drug use is continuing to cloud your thinking.
Yeah, I stayed single for a few years, and then I was living with a couple of my friends in Bemidji, Minnesota. It's up in northern Minnesota, and they were good people to have in, around me in my life. They would help me watch my kid and stuff. And so then when I was about 20, 6, I met a man named Cody, and he had a daughter the same age as my son, and then we started dating. And we were together for about a year, and then I found out that he was using meth and cheating on me. So naturally, I just broke up with him. And then a few months later, I got back together with him, and I figured maybe he was done with using or something. And then, like a month after getting back together with him, I reasoned that, maybe if I used meth with him, he wouldn't leave me to use meth with other people. So then, for the first time in my life, I decided to try meth, and that was a pretty that went downhill pretty quick. Within 3 months, I was using meth with the needle, and then we just me and Cody we fought a lot, and verbally, and then towards the end it got physical too. And he wouldn't hit me in front of my son, but I would hit him when it would hit him in front of his daughter. And so, but then as soon as he did hit me in front of my son, I ended up ending the relationship because I just needed to get out of the relationship and I wanted to stop using, and that was like a way out. And then my meth use, I quit for 6 months at that time, and then I started using again. I was with a different man and kept it secret. I had gone a couple months without seeing my kid, and then I got to see him again. But while I was keeping it secret this time, I was trying to keep it hidden from my family. But then, like meth, what it does is it destroys your life, and then it exposes itself. And so I ended up telling on myself again that I told my family that I was using again. And then I couldn't see my son for a while. His mom wouldn't let me see him. And then that time was a pretty long time that I didn't get to see my kid for. After that, I kept on using off and on. I tried going to a treatment center down in Minneapolis that's exclusive to the homosexual community, and then I ended up getting kicked out of that one. And then
Why'd you get kicked out?
because I went there with the man that I was with at the time, and we were just improper conduct. We were fooling around when we shouldn't be.
So
And
were you motivated at all to get clean?
I wanted to quit for my son. I did want to quit using, but I also just didn't. I wanted to keep using. Then I ended up, after I got kicked out of treatment, I ended up getting a DUI, and then I was in jail on a Saturday, and then on Monday at noon I got out. And by 4:30 p.m., I was in jail again because the house I was at got raided, and they caught me with some meth.
Yeah, Casey, it sounds like there's one problem after another. And so the mess, you've blown up a number of bridges. So maybe we need to come to a point where we start to rebuild this bridge, because I know that's a great part of your story.
One more bad thing. My use kept going on, and then I ended up trying to cook meth, and it exploded on me, and so I got burns on 17% of my fat on my body, and at that point I was like, okay, well I can't even trust myself anymore, so I need to go get help. And I tried another treatment center down in Minneapolis. That one failed. I failed at that one, not the treatment center. But then my parents kept asking me, telling me to go to Teen Challenge ever since I had a drug problem. And then I didn't want to go there. I just tried everything. I was like, they're Catholic. They're not gonna want somebody like me there. And so I just avoided going. I told my mom, if you want to go to teen if you want like Teen Challenge so much, why don't you just go? And so I ended up I was looking in I wanted my son lived in the in this Duluth area. And I wanted to go to treatment in the same area that he lived in. And I was looking for a place with a basketball court, and so I could play because I like basketball. And I couldn't find anything except for Teen Challenge. And then I found out that they have a not a sec that their short-term program is not faith-based. So I agreed to go. And that's just a miracle how God got me into the doors there. And when I was at Teen Challenge, I just was going to go there for 3 months and leave and keep doing what I was doing probably, but within a month of being there, I just started getting drawn to the atmosphere of love and the staff and my peers. And I decided that I would try doing the long-term program. And then within 3 months of being there, I started to read the Bible. And it's just something happened in my spirit where I had all that doubt before with God, but as I was reading the Bible, just something happened. It was like an instinct where I started to trust God, and I started to trust that He knows what He's doing, and that He's not trying to prevent us from getting hurt, and that His word is true. And I figured that if God, I started to believe that if God is who He is and He created everything, that He's going to make sure that the word of God is right too. And so I just really had an encounter with Him, and then just started to grow with God from there.
Well, this sounds really positive. So, all right, you start more growing in your faith, which is great. You're getting into God's word. How is it transforming you?
I hadn't seen my kid in like a year at that point, and when I got to Teen Challenge, they stopped talking to me, and God gave me this peace that about it, and just to wait on his timing. When I graduated from Teen Challenge, they actually came to my graduation, and I still struggled with attraction towards men, but I just trusted God, and I just want to live every day of my life for him, to honor him. And after Teen Challenge, I went to TCLI down in Minneapolis. It's a Teen Challenge Leadership Institute, it's called, and it's just another year program. You can go after Teen Challenge and just solidify your relationship with God, and grow in your identity with God, and just transition into independent living. And then while I was in that program, I started to work down at the Teen Challenge in Minneapolis. And then when I completed that program, I moved up to Duluth, where I live now. And I work at the Teen Challenge up here.
Okay, well, that's great. So tell me more, Casey, about how God is transforming you, because you're still dealing with everyday life and you've got concerns and you've got attractions. And how is God working in your everyday life?
I was reading the Bible every day, and just like, and I was still get kind of stuck in some sexual sin. And then I through some prayer and fasting, he showed me that I was reading the Bible every day, but I wasn't spending time with him in prayer. And then so I started to spend time with him every day in prayer. And then since then, I've been set free from that sexual sin too. So God just really showing me how to ground myself on his presence, that whether I'm having a good time or a bad time, that I can focus on his presence and come close to him. And he just really he's been saving me and rescuing me from anything, and he's just been really prospering me.
How long have you been free from meth, and how long have you been free from sexual sin?
Meth, I've been sober for 2 years and 9 months, and sexual sin probably like a year and 2 months. And I
Good
never
for
thought I was gonna
you.
get out of that one. Yeah, praise God.
So what are you doing every day to walk your faith out?
I live in a discipleship house, and it's right next to, it's connected to the church I go to, and I'm able, in order to live here, you have to go to the church so many times a week. And so that's one way I stay connected to the body. And I just, every day I'm in the word, every day I'm in prayer. Recently I'd kind of been like giving God my bare minimum, but then he like set me on fire again, and so now I'm giving him some ample time. And so it's just been really important to stay close to the body. And just working at Teen Challenge, sometimes I don't even want to go into work, but then I get there and I'm only there for like 15 minutes, and I've only talked to a couple people, but I'm just filled already to overflowing. I'm really grateful for where I have to work.
Yeah, sometimes God calls us to suit up and show up, and he'll do his work through you. Because if you sometimes sit around and go, "Do I feel like going to work today?" The answer is going to be no.
If we went by our feelings, you and I would never do this show,
Yeah.
right? Am I? I'm
That's
not alone on that.
no,
Am
no,
I?
no,
Okay.
no, you're not.
And I think you're right. And I think a lot of that, Billy, is delayed gratification. I know for me, when I think about using occasionally or not going to do my workouts, I thank the committee in my head for sharing, say a prayer, and then I get into action and do what I didn't want to do. And what it is for me is I want ease, comfort. I want to do things my way. I've never gone to church, never gone to a Bible study, never gone to the gym and worked out where afterwards I wasn't glad I did it. And there were a lot of things that I used to do that at the time I was really looking forward to, and I was never glad that I did them.
Mm-hmm. Great point, George. Thank you for that.
Well, Bill, thank you for your kindness and sincerity. I think one of the great things about your story, there's a lot of guys that have same-sex attraction. There are a lot of women that have it, too. And we don't talk about it, and there's a lot of people in our lives, I'm sure, that struggle with it. I know a lot of the guys I've worked with have. And it's like, that's the unacceptable sin. Well, my Bible tells me that all sin away from God is a sin. We don't really rank them except for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, Billy. And I'm glad somebody came out and talked about this. How are you dealing with that on a daily basis? What do you do if the thoughts come about stepping out? How do you handle that?
Yeah, you know, so like I was saying, just drawing near to God and focusing on his presence, I'd like picture giving God a hug or picture holding his hand. And then, you know, there's sometimes, whether it's like a temptation to use or a temptation for sexual things, I can tell when I need to go ask somebody for prayer. And so then I'll go ask somebody to pray for me.
You know, that's so important, Bill. We have a lot of guys that we work with that call us after they use.
The ship has sailed.
I always tell my guys, I used to do that too. I'm not going to call you when I'm thinking about drinking. What if you talk me out of it? What you need to do is get proactive and do it all the time. Because I look at it this way. I need to have a sobriety bank account. And I need to go to accountability groups, pray every day for sobriety before I get out of bed, be in the Word, go to church, be in a Bible study. I know I'm going to get a time when I want to use. I know it happens. I never know when it's coming, but I do know it's coming. If I don't have anything in the bank account to write the check, keep me sober, I'm dead.
Yeah, good point. We'll take a little break. We'll come back lots more with Casey. If you are just joining us, you can make sure you hear all of this and go to myfaithradio.com, the Real Recovery page. It's there. You can check it out. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. Glad to have Casey with us tonight. He's telling quite a story of transformation. God is at work in his life, and we're grateful for that. Every time I hear stories of transformation, I always get excited, George, because God does amazing things. And I'm curious, Casey, as to how God is using you. Given your history and your experiences, God always equips you with very special gifts based on your past. And how is he equipping you to talk to others who might be having the same struggles you've had?
God has put quite a few, whether I've been on a walk or doing street evangelism, or I was on a mission trip too. He's put people in front of me in my path to minister to. And, you know, one example, I went on a mission trip to Costa Rica, and we were to the Teen Challenge down there. And one of the nights we went out on street outreach, and I felt led to go talk to a man. And then when I was talking to him, he said, telling him my testimony, he was addicted to drugs and out on homeless. And I told him my testimony about that. And I just encouraged him to talk to God. And he said that he didn't believe that God loved him because he's gay. And so I got to tell him that God does love him. And then he, you know, with that night, we brought back two men and two women to admit into their program down there. And he ended up being one of them. And when he was walking away to go with us, he turned around and he had a big smile on his face, and he said, "Thank you." And he gave me a hug. And so I was just amazed that, you know, I thought I would have to like pry on people more if in that situation, but God did all the work. The anointing was there.
I would think that'd be tough, Bill. I don't work with women because for me, I have sinned sexually with women in the past. And so I never work with women. I never did. And it's got to be, you really have to have your guard up when you're working with other men, I would imagine.
Yeah, I try to work with when I try to go out with people normally.
Never, never alone when you're working with other
I mean,
guys.
well, I mean, just like if I was out on witnessing or something, but you know, I trust God. I don't really,
I trust God, I just don't trust me.
I don't trust. Yeah, exactly.
So, Casey, I want to know what kind of vision God's put on your mind and your heart, because you've got, I think you're a young man with lots of life ahead, and you've got a nice amount of sobriety under your belt. But I think, George, you went through three treatments in 7 years to get sober.
I did.
Yeah. So, and you say every day that you wake up before you get out of bed, you pray for the strength to be sober.
Power, strength, and desire. I think a lot of the days we don't have the desire to do it, and unfortunately, that doesn't matter. And Bill, you talk about non-negotiables. Quiet time, working out, getting enough sleep, eating right. A non-negotiable is that I have to do it even when I don't want to.
Yeah. But you don't think about it every day. You don't sit and think, do I want to do this? It's a given. You're going to do it.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
don't have the right to not do it, double negative, because I don't want to.
Right.
I'm doing it. It's kind of like my dad used to say, do this. I go, I don't want to. He goes, do it. I go, why do I have to do it? Because I said so. That's why. And I think God does that to us with the Bible. It's really a big, because I said so. That's why.
Yeah. So what kind of vision has God laid on your heart, Casey?
I definitely feel called to evangelism, right? And so, in whatever form that looks like, I know I'm gonna be out there talking to people about Jesus or praying with people. And I know I'm also probably called to minister to that community, the people that struggle with the same thing I did, the people that have identity issues. Right now I'm going to college for drug and alcohol counseling, and so I'll be done with that. But even I know God's gifted me with the just like people open up to me when they will meet me, whether they met me for the first time or they've known me for a while. People will kind of open up to me. They feel comfortable with me, and so I can see that the gift is to heal people just by kind of like being there for them and listening to them. And also my son, I've been back getting back into his life, and I live in the same area as he does, so I get to see him at least like once a week now. And so I just look forward to that relationship getting restored more and more. And yeah, I don't know everything. I feel it would be cool to keep going on missions trips too.
Well, it sounds like you got a lot of ambition to serve the Lord, expand his kingdom, and be available to how God might use you in the best way possible. I always think of the great passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'll read the whole passage because I think it's so powerful. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. Sounds like that's past tense, George, doesn't
So, do you have to do like all those things to not get in? Or
it?
does just one disqualify
Could be
you?
one. But
Because I'm not a swindler.
yeah, that's probably true. But let me just finish the verse. 11 says, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. And as I hear your story, Casey, it really sounds like you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And he is. And I think for a lot of us, when we hear these stories, they're God's story in us, and it's great. But God is sovereign. There's nothing that happens that he doesn't allow. And if you look at a guy that doesn't have a relationship with Christ, who's going to spend eternity in hell. God allows addictions to get your attention. And we look at it, you know, with eternity stamped on our eyeballs, Bill, that's a win-win. And then God doesn't get us sober and saved without having a job for us to do. And I wish you all the, you know, success, and keep doing what you're doing, because there's a lot of people hurting out there with those issues. And I also encourage you to make sure that just working with guys doesn't help our own recovery. It actually hurts it. You can't give away what you don't have, and you got to take care of your side of the street. So keep working your own recovery program.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, and Casey, not that you're looking for any kind of advice from us, but I think George made a really good point, how we have to make sure that we keep up really healthy boundaries when we're finding ourselves in situations where we could feel temptation, or we could feel any kind of compromise. And that great passage in 1 Corinthians 10 about there's no temptation that God will not help you escape. Important to be reminded that being a part of God's family doesn't keep you insulated from a fall or a setback.
Well said.
Thanks.
Well, you don't ask and say to other people anything you're not doing yourself, and I know that. So whenever I hear you say something like that, it resonates with me.
Yeah.
Well, Casey, that means that I listen to it and I understand
it. I get that. Thanks for making that clear, George.
Thank you. Well, I'm here for you. I care.
Really, really helpful. Casey, thanks so much for doing the show. It's great having you on.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
You bet. And George, I would like to comment on what happened when you gave your testimony, which was so powerful, again, when you shared your story and your journey. I know every time you do it, you discover something else about your story that you haven't shared. And the last time you shared it just recently on the show, and I recommend anyone going and checking it out, you find that there is such great comfort in knowing that God has taken you from a place of addiction to a place of freedom, 38 years now sober. We got a couple of friends this week, Tom and John, who are celebrating dry dates, and 14 years for one and 10 for another. So that's really nice. But we got a bunch of really great comments came in from listeners. And one said, great story, George. I've been listening to you guys for years and have told many friends about real recovery. I really appreciate your story. I've never heard the long version. You're an inspiration, very sincerely. I thought that was really, really nice. Another comment that said, so thankful for Real Recovery. I rarely miss an episode. It was great to hear George's story tonight. Thank you, George. And thank you, Bill, not only for your show, but for your daily afternoon show. That was nice. I didn't see that coming. And another one said, thank you for sharing. Again, this is how important it is to get out and to share and to tell your story. George, I think you had mentioned that more than once, how important it is at least once a year to make sure you're telling your story. This is the first time I've heard a story that somewhat mirrors my own. And for that, I say God is always on our side and loves us and sees us. So when I invited people to send George a comment or a note, you really did a beautiful job. He was incredibly encouraged. So thank you for doing that. And thank you for listening to Real Recovery and being part of our show here. And if you have a question or a concern, or you need some help, you know, we're always wanting to hear from you. You can always send us a note at 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. And if you have never been to our podcast, you can check that out, because we've got all kinds of episodes. If you can't wait to, if you can't stand waiting a week to hear another show, you can go to the podcast and check out any show you like. So it's all right there, again, at myfaithradio.com. That wraps up another award-winning episode of Real Recovery. Thanks for joining us. I hope you have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time.